The following message by Pastor Brett Metter is our Christmas Eve service at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. All right, it's good to see you guys. Let's all stand together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Lord, we do love the fact that you are the author of joy. You're the Prince of Peace. Lord, you're the one who gives us that love that has no boundaries. The joy of our salvation, Lord, I pray that tonight that we would just see you as the light of the world. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be warmed, and as we just circle around you, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified in this time and place. Lord, what a joy to be on Christmas Eve with your people. You say in your word, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And as brothers and sisters, what a joy, Lord, to be circled around you tonight. So bless this service, we pray. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, it's good to see you guys. You know, we have a chance tonight just to worship the Lord and kind of, I like to think of this Christmas Eve service as sort of a chance to sit in the Athey Creek living room and just enjoy family time. And so I'm glad you're here. You guys chose the best service because we've all practiced a couple times now and we might get it right. And then also, I actually forgot one of the special songs at the first service. They didn't even get the song. So you guys are going to be way ahead. Also, this is the least crowded. So you guys are at the real chill, great, wise, truly saved Christian Christmas Eve service. But no, it's great to see you guys. Hey, in just a minute, we'll have a special song. But before that, why don't you guys greet a few people, get to a few names that you haven't met, and then go ahead and make yourself comfy, have a seat. Hey, we have a special treat. We're going to kick things off with Natty and Kira and Alice. We've got Danny back on the keys, tickling the ivories back there, or plastics, or whatever they are. And man, this is a great tune. Let's give a huge Athey Creek welcome for these girls.
Save
right. Nice job, girls. Excellent. Let's all stand together. Okay, you got to kind of get into those. Let's clap along. You can sing along. Let's get in some Christmas music. Here we go.
Thank you. And they saw a star shining in the east, beyond and far. And to the earth it gave a light, and so we can see you both day.
We're so thankful on this Christmas Eve to be able to just remember the King who came and visited us, lived among us, and was born in that manger in Bethlehem. And Lord, we're just glad to know that it was more than just some little story that we talk about or some fairy tale, but Lord, an act that was so profound that it really turned the whole world upside down. And we're just glad to know the purpose, the reason for this season. We're thankful to be a part of your kingdom and to celebrate Christmas Eve, Lord. So we just give you all glory and honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you can go and have a seat. Brooke and Joe have put together a little version of What Child Is This? So why don't you guys let it roll? Here we go.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on, the babe, the Son of Mary. Child is this, the Son of God in our midst?
Thank you. That was good. That's the song I forgot first service. So anyway, they missed out. But you guys got that. That's great. Hey, you know, it really is a great time of the year. I love Christmas, and I love it for so many reasons. But, you know, Jesus is the most important part of that which makes my heart warm and glad. And full of joy. It's Jesus. You know, when I was a little kid, I remember loving the Christmas lights so much because it was just this warm glow. There's, you know, and that was back when, you know, everybody had C9s. None of these goofy, you know, buzzy, headache-inducing LED lights that some of you people think are Christmas lights. But the big C9s, you know, the ones you can walk up to and warm yourself by the side of a C9, that... I grew up looking at those, but on our Christmas tree, I remember my mom and dad had those little, you know, little twinkle lights, the colorful ones, and I remember sitting in the Naugahyde chair next to the Christmas tree and just looking, and I loved just seeing all those lights, and, you know, I'd think about the presents that might be under the tree, but then think all those lights, and if you stuck your finger in your eye, you could almost see two trees and double the lights, you know, stuff you do when you're a kid. I did it last week, too, and it works still, but it's kind of interesting. But but all that to say, you know, the Christmas lights, I remember as a little kid in the 70s, one of the things I always remember, you know, driving around in the car around Jacksonville and Medford when I was a kid growing up, I remember seeing all the people's Christmas lights on their houses and loved that. I loved all the light just glowing, the warm glow over the whole city. There was one part of Jacksonville, you could see the whole hillside. It would be just lit up with homes with Christmas lights. But I remember one year, it was much darker, and there were not even half the Christmas lights on the hillside. And I asked my mom, hey, what's up with this? You know, where's everybody's Christmas lights this year? And my mom said, well, there's a lot of people this year that are kind of hurting, you know, financially. And I'm like, what's that all about? She talked about, well, what later I realized was a kind of a bad recession that we were in the 70s, if you recall, and the energy crisis. Remember the gas lines and the cars waiting in line in 1979? But truly, in our town, the economy, the inflation was so bad that really people couldn't afford Christmas lights, the energy, and even go buy the lights. So it was kind of a darker Christmas. And I remember feeling really sad. Not that people were hurting, but the Christmas lights weren't on the trees. In the houses. You know, later on I realized what that actually was. And, you know, the thing is, though, the idea of things going dark, the light going dark, that's kind of a depressing thing. I think sometimes it's a little sad to pull the lights down. You know, I'm one of those guys that love putting the lights up, but taking them down, that's no fun at all. Because, man, then you just got a bunch of tangled wire and broken bulbs, and then you have to try to fix it all next year. But I love when the light's out shining bright, you know, and you know, it makes me think at Christmas time, why do we get into Christmas lights? I think, you know, as Christians, one of the cool correlations is that Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world. And this amazing irony that he left the lightness of heaven, came down to the darkness of this earth. In fact, there's so many ironies. You know, I was kind of jotting down some of the ironies of what Jesus did in his coming. And one of those is that he was, you know, he was one who entered into this earth, into darkness, but he came from light so that you and I could go from darkness into light. That's what he did. In fact, the Bible tells us about that, you know, how Jesus being the light of the world, and then that we aren't able to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's a huge one. I'll get back to that one in a second. Also, he left heaven to come to earth so that you could leave earth and go to heaven. Apart from Jesus, no one can make it to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says that. People try to come up with other ideas of what gets a person to heaven or what saves a person, but really it's Jesus alone. And he did that work for us because he loves us. He endured the human birth physically so that you and I might be born again spiritually. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he was talking to Nicodemus at night. And he said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, what? A man has to go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, are you really a teacher in Israel? Apparently, Nicodemus should have known this, but Jesus was marveling that Nick didn't know it. So Jesus explained, see, this idea of being born again, you and I were born in sin and in death, the Bible says. We were born in death. That's why there's bad things that happen to good people in this world. That's why there's evil in this world, because of sin, the sin of humanity. Once Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it was all downhill from there. But the rest of the Bible is there to tell us how God reconciles us to the Father, which is in heaven, and his plan and his purpose, and it all is around Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, he endured human birth physically so that you and I could be born again spiritually. You must be born again, it says. Not only that, another bit of irony, he had an earthly mother so that we might have a heavenly father. Born of a virgin, predicted by Isaiah the prophet, even all the way back into Genesis, talked about the virgin birth. But Christ came, fulfilling one of those prophecies, of many, by the way, about Jesus and who he would be, the one born of a virgin. I love the fact that he was born of an earthly mother, that we might have a heavenly father. Very important. He was also born in a manger so that you can live in a mansion. What's that? He came to die. He was born to die. He was born in a manger so you can have a mansion. Some of you are like, Brett, I'm not into mansions. Speak for yourself. Or whatever. You know, it's funny here. There's a lot of us that have been really blessed. Some of you are like, apparently you're not, Brett. You can't even afford long pants on Christmas Eve. Well, here's the thing. You might not be into mansions. But the idea of the mansion, in John chapter 14, Jesus said, verses 1 through 3, he's talking about, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or the Greek word there could also be translated as dwelling places. And then Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus talked about how he was going to go and prepare a place specifically for them. That it was, and you got to understand, it's going to be a glorious place. Heaven is going to be amazing. And I bet you heaven's going to be so full of light, we won't even know what to do with ourselves. The light of Christ, man, what a cool thing. So Jesus was born in a manger that we might have a mansion or a dwelling place, a place that he's prepared in heaven for us. You know, no matter how dark things get here on this earth in this lifetime, if you've got the hope of heaven and you realize this life is but a vapor, like the Bible says, but you know heaven's coming and it's eternal, man, you can kind of chill out on all the other stuff that goes on in this life. And it also makes you want to share the good news with as many people as you can, because what a glorious bit of news, heaven. Man, I love that. Have you noticed, by the way, all the fake news that's been going on this year? That's one of my favorite terms that's been coined, fake news, and they're finally figuring it out. It's been around forever. Do you understand that? You know, Facebook is the biggest news source now of most people, especially millennials and what have you. They're getting their internet news, which is which they're saying, hey, you guys, time out. If there's one thing the previous election showed us is there's a ton of fake news out there. And everybody's like, really? And I'm just surprised everybody's surprised. It's been that way forever. I'm so glad that I get to be a minister of the good news that is tried and true and has been around for millennia. And it's been proven by billions of people who believe in Jesus Christ and know that he really is the light of the world. He has given us hope in our hearts. We have the hope of heaven, the peace on earth, goodwill toward men, the joy to the world. The Lord has come. That's the stuff we really know is true. I don't know about you, but in a world of fake news, I'm thankful for the good news. Good news. Good tidings of great joy. That's what the Bible says. Well, not only that, he went from riches to poverty so that you and I can go from poverty to riches. What's that? Well, that's just, again, what the Bible says. You know, the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 3, it says this. Jesus, of course, was talking about how they were lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. But he says, you think you're rich, but you're really blind, naked, poor, and crippled. And he admonished that church saying, man, you think you're rich. I worry about us in America that we're so blessed. We got all kinds of stuff, and we think we're all squared away. But oftentimes, we're not very happy. We actually, even though we got the stuff and we think we're rich, I wonder if we really are in darkness, blind. I wonder if we really are kind of crippled spiritually, lame. This is what the Bible warns. This is what Jesus warned the church at Laodicea. And I love that Jesus Christ is the one who makes poor men rich. You know, there was another church that was really poor, Smyrna. And he said to them, he said, I know that you're in poverty, but you are really rich. What church was that? They were the church that was persecuted. We're going through all kinds of troubles and struggles. Jesus truly is the light of the world. And we can know that he came for all those reasons. He was stepped down into darkness so that we could step into marvelous light. Listen to this. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He doesn't want us to walk in darkness. Now, here's a question. On the light meter of your life, how's it going? Is your life full of the light of Christ? You know, I think people are robbed of that light. And it comes on different forms and levels. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long, long time. And as you've been a Christian, maybe you've taken your eyes off of the light of Jesus and you've been looking at people for years. Look at those hypocrites. Oh, that person treated me wrong and they're supposed to be a Christian. They call themselves Christians. And you're bitter in your heart toward someone. And man, as you get older and you're a Christian for years, maybe that light of Christ has dimmed because you've taken your energies and efforts away from the true source of light and you've put it on other things. Maybe your light, it was dimmed. Maybe when you were a little kid, you loved Jesus and you walked with Jesus, accepted, you know, the Lord at summer camp and went to church with your parents. And then, man, as you got older, you thought, well, I know more than my parents. They're into that, you know, stuff. They told me that Santa Claus was, you know, really important to believe in, and Jesus, and I've just chosen to not believe in Jesus anymore. In fact, some of you, maybe when you went off to college, how many people's faith have been destroyed in these universities and colleges where these professors will say, you know, the Bible is full of contradictions, and it was written by men, and we know that Jesus never really existed anyway, and you know, and there's all these little, you know, people that try to chip away at the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, I kind of liken that to somebody standing up against a boulder and trying to push a boulder with a toothpick. They've been poking at the gospel for millennia. But it's amazing to me how the gospel of Jesus, the light of Christ, remains intact, and there are billions of people who believe and are following and walking in the light. But what can happen as we go year after year, Christmas after Christmas, that light can start to dim. And maybe some of you, it's been snuffed out. Maybe that college professor made you not a believer and you doubted. And the sad thing is what happens is we start to walk in darkness. Now, why do we walk in darkness? Here's what the Bible says. This isn't Pastor Brett saying this. This is the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. The reason the professor wants you not to believe in Jesus, misery loves company. And people that don't believe and are not walking in light, they are walking in darkness. And it's because we want to do our own thing, we want to go our own way. And maybe you missed the old days when you were a child and you had that childlike faith in Jesus Christ. But because you had some guy giving you fake news in college that wasn't really tried or true, as many people are fed a kind of a bill of goods and you walked away and your faith was shaken. Man, I want to encourage you tonight to step back into the light, to walk in. Man, come from out of the cold. I was just talking to a guy earlier, just said, man, I was an atheist, and I have accepted the Lord. I'm a believer, and he's going through the Bible and studying. I thought, that's so cool. What a cool deal. It's so much better to be in the light. Why would we be out in the cold when we could be in the light, in his marvelous light, as it's called here? Listen to these other scriptures about light. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 1:5 says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome it. It's like when you're in a dark room, how do you make the darkness flee? Run? You turn on the light switch. Because where there is light, there can be no darkness. I remember that fourth grade field trip to the Oregon Caves when I was in school, and we walked through the caves. If you've ever been there, there's these lights in there. It's real touristy, you know, it's a cave, but it's, you know, it's well lit and you're in there. Well, the ranger there, she said, you know, the guy that discovered this cave, his dog ran in after a bear. And the guy followed his dog, trying to find his dog. So he ended up going way back into this cave, and then his matches ran out and he ended up in darkness. And she said, you want to know what that felt like? And then she had a switch right there. And I watched her. She reached over. And there we were in the darkness of the cave. You could hear the, you know, the dripping of the water. A cold, damp cave. Was I freaked out? Man, you know, it was dark. You couldn't even see the hand in front of your face. Was I freaked out? No, I'll tell you why. Because I knew she knew where the switch was. She was going to be able to turn the light back on. Just that easy. Poof, lights back on, finished the cave tour. In my fourth grade mind, I wasn't sweating at all. But some of us in our lifetime, as we wander away from the light and we find ourselves just kind of walking in cold, chilly darkness, and we wonder where our joy is that we once had as a kid. Jesus talked about how you must become like a little child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to lose some of that bitterness and even sometimes not checking your brain in. I believe it to be a Christian. You can be an intellectual and a Christian at the same time. But I think sometimes you have to put aside some of those barriers for a second and say, I'm just going to choose to step back into the light because you know it's there. I just think that even sometimes the hardest of atheists, they know there's a light that they're missing out on, but they just can't rationalize it in their mind. But my challenge is to say, step into the light and see, because the darkness cannot overcome it. Why would we stand out in the cold when the Lord says, come on in, warm ourselves by the light of Christ? Well, listen to this, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What's that? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Maybe some of you tonight. Sorry, nobody called me ahead of time, told me to talk about this. But some of you might be here tonight because your spouse made you come. She's the believer in the family. She's the Jesus person. She's the one who's going to teach the kids about Jesus. I'm going to be the pragmatic one and the boring one. No. What do you mean, Brett? Well, I'm just saying, you know, there's something about a husband and wife that are on the same page spiritually. Because one of the worst things you can do to a marriage is have one person walking in the light and the other person walking in darkness. Why would you abstain from the light of Christ when the rest of your family would love for you to walk in light? It's heartwarming. It's a blessing. It's this huge loving invitation from Jesus. It says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll take your burden and make it easy, and my load is light. Why would we pass that up? So this is just a bit of a challenge to anyone who's either been out of the light and walking in darkness, or maybe if you've let your light go dim in your faith, tonight's a good night to walk back into the light. How do we do that? How do we get back into the light? Well, if you're a Christian, it's simple. You confess your sins, where you've strayed, where you've gone away. You've confessed your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And man, light back on. If you're not a believer, the solution is just as simple. Scriptures declare this: if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him up from the dead, it says you will be saved. See, the raising of the dead, the reason that's so important is because that's what separates Jesus from all the other gurus, religious leaders, founders of religions and stuff, is Jesus said, if you destroy this body in 3 days, I will raise it up from the dead. And Jesus did that. You say, well, Brett, were you there? Do you know? Well, no, I wasn't there, but let me tell you, it's one of the most provable facts in all of history. What other historical fact has 500 eyewitnesses who saw Jesus after he rose from the grave alive? 500 people said he rose. And then those same people became followers of Jesus and were willing to die for their faith. In brutal, torturous ways, I might add, they died for their faith in a guy who they knew was just a guy from Galilee, carpenter, who came to Jerusalem and died on a cross like a common criminal. What set him aside? What set him apart? Why did the world turn all the way upside down when Jesus died on the cross? It's because they knew that he did raise up from the grave. There's a lot of other things I hear. It's fake news and fake stuff, and it's hard to believe anything anymore, but I would venture out there to say that the death, the burial of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ is really one of the most believable things out there. And it's only the hard-hearted person that says, I'm not going to believe that. And we're walking in darkness. So what do? You confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, Jesus, that he died, that he rose from the grave, and that says, you will be saved. You'll come out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So that's my invitation tonight for anybody who would come into the light tonight. Come out from the cold and into the light of Jesus Christ and be saved, be forgiven. As Christians, if you're walking with the Lord, you know we're not perfect. We all fail, make mistakes, but at least we're walking in light. Christ is our hope and our joy. But if you're distant from Christ tonight, let's just make it right. Let's fix that right now. Let's get the Christmas lights back on. Would you bow your heads, please, with me? And with everybody's heads bowed, I'd like to invite you to confess Christ with me right now. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody or make you do anything weird. But right where you sit, if you're saying, Brett, I maybe have been stubborn and moved away from the light of Christ, and the darkness is no fun, I need the warmth of Christ back in my life. So you can turn all the dials back to zero, start over, and the Lord just lovingly, gladly accepts you back. And if that's you and you'd like to accept Christ, maybe you've never accepted Christ, if that's you, would you acknowledge that before God and in front of me too, just me, you, and the Lord, right here, right now, for you to acknowledge your need for a Savior, to be walking in the light. If that's you, I'd like to pray a prayer of confession. Again, I won't embarrass you, but right where you're sitting, everybody else's heads are bowed. Will you just look up right now and give me a quick wave And let me just look around for a second. If that's you and you want to accept Jesus and believe and have a light, come on. I see you back there, you guys. I see several of you there. You and you. Good. You. 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 That's good. I see you guys there. Right there. Anybody else? I love how in the Bible, God is always pictured as just being really chilled out, seated upon the throne, except for one time. The only time you see God in a hurry is to forgive people's sins. It's like the prodigal that comes back and you see the father running out to greet the guy who's coming back from his sinful condition. Jesus just is so glad to receive us back. So we're just one confession of prayer, truly from our hearts, through our mouths, one confession of faith away. So I'm going to pray that prayer of confession. If you're a Christian, would you pray this out loud with these several people who are saying yes to Christ and turning that light switch on in their lives? I think we should just confess this together out loud and let's confess our faith. Would you join me here? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I believe in your Son, Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, that he rose up from the grave, and that I'm forgiven. And now help me to walk with you. Thank you for saving me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, how thankful I am for the warm glow of salvation. Would you wrap your arms around each of these people who've just confessed you tonight? Lord, we know our lives aren't going to be perfect from this day forward, and we'll still make mistakes, but I'm thankful that we have the hope of heaven and the warmth of salvation. Give us that blessed hope, Lord, of that time where we're with you. But until then, bless these your people. Warm their hearts, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Glory streams from heaven.
parts of a candlelight service is to see the way the flame spreads throughout the congregation. One little tiny flame, and it kind of expands into to light up the sanctuary. That's really what Jesus called us to do, is he's the light of the world. Then he says, you are the lights of the world. So when we experience the light of Christ, our job is to see that spread. Let people know there's light, there's joy, there's peace. So we're going to light these candles that you were given on your way in. And as I light the front here, you guys just start passing sideways and backward. And then we're going to light up the sanctuary. But as we light these candles, make that your prayer, that we be the light of the world, even as Jesus is the light, and that his light would shine through us. Let your light shine before all men, the Bible says. So let's light these candles for the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and let's rejoice. Let's all stand together.
She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Our daily
would, let's lift our candles up real high so we can get them up there. Yeah, that looks great. Man, you know, may the light of Jesus Christ shine in your hearts and in your lives and through your lives as you go about this Christmas and this coming new year. May Jesus just fill you up and warm your hearts. And may the Lord bless you and your families. And may you have a merry, 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 merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can blow out your candles. God bless you. Don't forget, if you want, we've got a 3 o'clock service tomorrow. So you're welcome to come down here and hang out with us. Until then, God bless you. You're dismissed.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit our website, athecreek.com, where you'll find all of Pastor Brett's studies available for you to download.